So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, we'll recount that very quickly. This is written by Paul. It's actually a song. It's a very interesting song. We don't know who wrote the song, but of course singing is always a good tool. It's a teaching tool. We don't do a lot of singing in this Bible class, but if we did, we might put music to this song. It's not the entire song, and Paul's quoted this song a couple other times in some of his letters, but this is the most lengthy quote. And it starts out with, it is a trustworthy statement. Literally, if you have your Greek and you can switch over it, it says, pistis ho logos. And you know the word pistos means faithfulness. And then ho is the, and then logos is word. So faithful is the word is a nice short statement, and that's the title of the song. In other words, this is all true. God is faithful. The word is faithful. Who is the word? Well, the word is God. The word is Jesus Christ, and all three members, of course, of the Trinity have exactly the same outlook. It's called the mind of Christ, the breath of the Holy Spirit, and the word of God. So all three members of the Trinity. And it says, for if we died with him, we'll also live with him. That's a first-class condition. For if is a first-class condition, which is translated, if it is true. For if, and it's true, we died with him. This has to do with positional sanctification. At the moment you believe in Christ, you are identified with Christ in his death. That was the first century. They used the water baptism to teach this doctrine. They dunked you in the water. You're identified with Christ in his death. Can't breathe. You're dead. You know, when you're in the water, you're not breathing water. When you come up, you breathe water. And now you're identified with his life. And that's what this means. So if we died with him, and we did, because we all accepted Christ as our Savior, that's whenever that was, we will also live with him. Well, this is eternal life. You will live with God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. There's no ending to that. And it's in an environment of fantastic blessings beyond your comprehension. And then the next verse says, if we endure, we studied that word endure, is hupomeno, which means to persevere. You got to keep going. As we say in the military, through hell or high water, you keep moving, you keep moving, you keep moving. As we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says we're soldiers in the army. And we studied verse 4 before when it says in 2 Timothy verse 4, you can flip right over there in your eyes, not too far. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. The word for active service, as we discovered, is on the battlefield. This is not you in the barracks. This is you on the battlefield. You're in active military service. This is the devil's world. You're behind enemy lines. And so you are on a constant struggle. And of course, you know Ephesians chapter 6, right? Put on the armor of God, because when you go into battle, you better have some equipment or you won't last long. And you better know how to use the equipment. So in the military, they give you the equipment and they train you on the equipment. So when the time comes, you can use it. Same with us. It's a great analogy. And so we have in the song, as we continue, if we endure, we will also reign with him. We saw that word assume basileo. These are rewards. If you endure, if you persevere, if you grow from a spiritual baby when you're born again to a spiritual adult, whatever that period will be, and if you grow up there pretty quick, just hold the high ground. Because you guys say, well, I'm a spiritual adult now. Take me home, Lord. Well, not yet. I've got some other things I want you to do. Hold the ground. You got to the ground, hold it. Because some Christians in the past, and we studied them, they got to the high ground pretty quick, and then they retreated. Solomon, he got there pretty quick. He retreated for most of his life. He crawled back up. King Saul, he got to the high ground as a young man, retreated, never went back up, died the sin unto death. So yeah, so, you know, great that you're in spiritual maturity, but now hold the high ground, because God wants to enter you as a subject matter expert witness exhibit, not just a witness. Every believer is a witness in the angelic conflict, but only a few are subject matter expert witnesses exhibits in the angelic conflict, like Job. And of course, as an expert, when you take the stand, they're going to cross-examine you. Oh, really? You say you're an expert? Well, where'd you go to school? Where'd you do this? That's what we do in the legal profession. So if one side presents their subject matter expert witness, they have to be qualified. And the judge will question them to see if they are a subject matter expert witness. And if they are, then they'll allow you to testify. And so that's what we're here for. So if we endure, we will also reign with him. Remember, Second Advent, right? This clicks in your Bible doctrine brain. The Second Advent's going to come. Rapture comes first, 7 years later, second advent. You will come back with Christ in a resurrection body. You will have already been evaluated that the judgment seat of Christ received your rewards and your resurrection body, or no rewards and your resurrection body. All y'all will come back with Christ. He will then kick off Satan and all demons off the earth, all unbelievers off. The living believers will be left alive. And then the mature believers that came back with Christ, Old Testament, New Testament, you will remain on the earth with Jesus. He will rule the world for 1,000 years from Jerusalem, and you'll be ruling South Texas, or maybe Oklahoma, or maybe Belgium. I don't know what you're going to be. You do rule us up. You will reign with him. Now, only the winner believers that in their mortal bodies, they persevere, they reach maturity. That's the only ones that are going to stay behind. The rest of them are bounced right back. And so you will rule with him for 1,000 years. After that's over, new heaven, new universe, and you'll be ruling things beyond your comprehension, as Jesus said. Beyond your comprehension. But it'll be wonderful. So that's the promise here. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. Then it says in verse 12, if we deny him, we studied that word last hour. If we deny him, that word is A-R-N-E-O-M-A-I, and the translation in the Greek, interesting. Listen to this. To disregard one's own interest or to prove false to self. You did it to yourself. It's in your best interest to reach maturity. You disregarded what's in your own best interest. Good job. You almost use a bad word. You did it to yourself. You did it to yourself. And there you go. You denied him. And this is all the way from the believer that's just ambivalent to Bible doctrine. Yeah, God's out there. I'll go once in a while. To the one that just literally denies Christ. I'm no longer a Christian. I reject it. I'm now a Buddhist. Or I'm now a Star Trek nut or something. I don't know. You go off in the deep end somewhere. I've seen them. You've seen them. I've seen people that were on the straight and narrow of Bible doctrine and turned away. Turned away from it. And they went into existentialism and Eastern philosophy and all sorts of nonsense. And you go, what? Really? Yeah. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Uh-oh. You can lose your salvation, brother. No, you can't. What will he deny you? Well, he'll deny you what's in verse 12, which is rewards. You will get no rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. All your stuff you did on this earth is wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up, and you will receive nothing. Nothing. Look at verse 13. If we are faithless, and that word for faithless, of course, is apisteo. A is the negative, pisteo is faith. You're faithless. If we are faithless, and this is a third-class condition, because it's up to you. If you're faithless, it's up to you. He remains faithful, and that's pistos. God cannot deny you as being his child. He'll always be his child. For he cannot deny himself. I should have just read the verse. For he cannot deny, that's the reason. God can't lie. He cannot deny himself. You are part of him. You are in the building. Remember the body of Christ? You're part of the body of Christ the second you're born again. And so he cannot deny you. This is the doctrine of eternal security in your book. This is set to music, and I'm sure they sang it over and over and over because some people, you know, need to hear it over and over and over, like me. You raise your hand. We don't do the raising and waving around here, but just mentally raise your hand. Yeah, I got to hear it over and over and over. Why? Because when you are a Christian, you're going to have what? There's a dear, dear friend of mine who is an amazing evangelist, Rick Hughes. And I'm going to borrow from Rick, and he probably borrowed from somebody else, but I don't know who he borrowed it from. But there, again, it's not the man, it's the message. He said it like this, and I'm paraphrasing. He said that anxiety and adversity is inevitable. So please don't say how bad you have it in life. All of us have anxiety. All of us have adversity. You show me yours, I'll show you mine. That's inevitable. We're in the devil's world. What do you expect? This is the devil's world. Of course you're going to have adversity and anxiety. However, stress and worry is optional. Because most people, when they have adversity and anxiety, they stress, they worry, they fall apart, they cry, they moan, why did God let this happen? I'm so unhappy, I'm so miserable. No, that's optional, dude. That is optional, because if you have anxiety, which you will have, and adversity, well, what do you do with it? You apply Bible doctrine. That's called the problem-solving devices. I just gave you the problem. Well, the problem solving, well, here's one good problem solving device. I have a personal sense of destiny. God has a plan for my life. Look at I like that passage. Where is it? Where Jeremiah 29. Let's flip to Jeremiah. I'll flip. If you guys can't flip, in the interest of time, I'll read it to you. But write it down in your book. Jeremiah 29:11-12. These are some of the things you can do when you have stress, when you have adversity. So some of the things you can do is you apply Bible doctrine. And Bible doctrine, of course, is in the Bible. So here's one, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you. Isn't that something? God already has planned out your entire life. He knows them. In fact, he knew it before the foundation of the world. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. This is a statement from God. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. He doesn't want you to have calamity. He doesn't want you to have anxiety and adversity. They're going to come, but he has plans for you. His plan is for you to grow up from a baby to a mature believer. There you go. Isn't that a marvelous passage? Look at John 16:33. John 16:33. I'll flip over there. You can write it down if you can't keep up, but that's all right. John 16:33. Jesus is speaking here to the disciples. These things I have spoken to you. What did Jesus do for 3 years? He taught Bible doctrine. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. So instead of having stress and worry, why not just have peace? And the word peace here is irene, and it means a relaxed mental attitude, because they're already saved. Have peace. All this stuff is coming around you. Just have peace. These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. Of course we have tribulation. We're in the world. We're going to have anxiety. We're going to have adversity all the time. But take courage. You take courage in the Bible doctrine that you know. I have overcome the world. So Jesus Christ overcame the world. You can overcome the world with Bible doctrine, with the mind of Christ. Go to Philippians chapter 4 right quick. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing. Fear, anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be named to the Lord. And the peace of God, same concept, the relaxed mental attitude of God, which surpasses all comprehension. As all the other human solutions of sublimations, I'll get drunk, I'll do this, I'll make friends, whatever, that's not going to bring you peace. It surpasses all comprehension, will guard, that word that actually means to garrison, like a military fort, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when it says, be anxious for nothing and everything, give prayer and thanksgiving, you can't grow without test. You cannot grow without change, without test. And God will give you these tests. You overcome them. And so instead of praying, like, remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, you remember that passage. Paul had the thorn in the flesh. Paul was a subject matter expert witness. God said, okay, I'm gonna allow Satan to cross-examine you. Gave him a pain that's pretty bad pain. And 3 times Paul said, take it away, take it away, take it away. That's not using the problem-solving devices. And then he finally said, oh, my grace is sufficient for you, is what God told him. My problem-solving devices are sufficient for you. Apply those. Apply personal sense of destiny, Paul. Keep moving. And you're not dead. You got pain, but you're not dead. Whatever that is, you ain't dead. That applies to us. So Paul, for a moment, and all of us do that, we fall. We'll just pick yourself up, rebound, and recall all these wonderful, fabulous passages. Let's go to Philippians 4:11. Just turn over one page. Would you like to know the secret to life? I would. What's the secret to life? Wow. We could bottle that and make a lot of money, right? Here's the secret to life. Verse 4, Philippians 11. We just got through studying the Philippians not too many months ago, maybe a year ago. It says, now that I speak, not that I speak from want, but I have learned. See, that's it, folks. We have to learn this stuff. And you learn from testing. Yeah, you got the Bible doctrine down. Remember the 8 R's? Test comes. I recall the doctrine. I apply the doctrine to the test. I pass the test. So it's a process. For I have learned, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. If I'm rich, if I'm poor, if I'm in a hovel, if I'm in a mansion, I'm content. Because that's exactly where God wants you to be. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstances, any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret. There you go. The secret. Notice the word learned. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's it. How does God strengthen you? With Bible doctrine, the faith rest technique. Claim the promises. God has you exactly where you are. So if your situation right now is not that pleasant, well, you will testify along with other believers. Because remember Jeremiah, God has a plan for you. It's not for your ill or for your harm, for your blessing. Just stick to that and say, okay, Lord, I'm in this place. You have a plan for me. I'm going to move forward. How do you move forward? You learn Bible doctrine. How often do I have to do it? Every day. Do you eat every day? Yeah. Sometimes I eat twice a day. Well, the Bible says you're supposed to learn Bible doctrine. Man shall not live by bread alone. Okay? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's Christ himself. Do you spend every day? I'm not asking, please do not tell me. I don't want to know. Because I ask myself the same question to myself. Do I spend every day in the Word to some degree? Now, some days are more intense than others. Like today is more intense than most days. We're sitting there getting hammered. Here's the Word of God. Here's the Word of God. What are you, a sissy? Move forward. You're your own worst enemy. Move forward. I have plans for you. I got rewards for you. Don't worry about it. I will never desert you. I will always be here. You'll desert me. I will never desert you. Why? Because I cannot lie. I'm God. You talk about a perfect father. I kind of suck as a father. I try to do my best. But God is your father. He is your perfect father. And everything you have came from him. Everything. So even the things, when things are tough or things are good, they're always good. If you have the mind of Christ and you're concentrating on Bible doctrine. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 to 4. Isaiah 26, 3 to 4. These are all good verses. If you have a hard Bible, put a little magic marker on these passages. These are wonderful passages. Isaiah 26, 3 to 4. It says, we'll start with Isaiah 26, verse 2. It says, open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one that remains faithful. That's the key, to remain faithful, the nation and the individuals that live in the nation. So open the gates of blessing, and the righteous are the believers in that nation, or individually it's us. And then it says, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. And that word for rock is a gigantic mountain. He'll never desert you. He'll always be there. So you're in different environments, different setting, different whatever it is. Okay, good job. He wants you to grow, and you can't grow without testing. Impossible. And yes, you're in the devil's world. As Jesus said in John, don't worry about it. I've overcome the world. War can't do anything to you. Nothing. So you don't have to say, well, I'm going to suffer through this. And suffer. It's wonderful. With thanksgiving, thank the Lord for what you have. Whatever it is. Why? Because he has a plan. So you put all these things together. But you can't put these doctrines together unless you study them a lot. Yeah, you can do the little faith rest stuff, which is good. Like you can claim a passage in Peter. I cast all my cares on him because he cared for me. Okay, just hold on to that little thing as you're going down the mighty river. But then as you learn more Bible doctrine, you start to put categories together. Wait a minute. God has a plan for me. I'm his child. I can't lose my salvation. He has me here for a purpose. I'm going to intersect with other people. So time is like a big river that flows along. And God controls time. He controls history. Satan's the ruler of the world, but he doesn't control the world. God does. So he controls it into two categories. Which believers, which humans want to be saved? He flows that water over to you. Second category, which believers want to reach maturity? He flows that over to you. And he is tapping his hands, as it were, looking down from heaven. Is anybody home? Are there any believers that want to learn my mind that will endure, that will be steadfast? Because I got plans for them. They will rule with me. That's how you glorify God. There's no other way to glorify God except by learning the mind of Christ and moving forward. And that's the plans. So we're in the battlefield, of course. We are moving forward, and we can do these things. We just have to keep going. We have to keep persevering, persevering. As Paul said, I persevere. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, I persevere. I keep going. And then he continued with that in his song, which we've just finished studying. With our head bowed and eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word this morning. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us. We know that all things work together for good to those that love you and are called according to your purpose. Count us among those people. Challenge us to move forward and keep us forever in your hand as we know that you will, because you are faithful. Even when we are not faithful, you remain faithful. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. In Christ's name, amen.